The White House is sending conflicting messages today on immigration. First, in a statement this morning, officials said the White House was no longer considering a plan to bus undocumented immigrants apprehended at the border to sanctuary cities, mostly in blue states. But not long after that, President Trump tweeted that because of Democrats, quote, "we are indeed, as reported, giving strong considerations to sending immigrants to sanctuary cities."
And almost everyone who follows politics in Washington is bracing for next week's expected release of the special counsel's full report on the Russia investigation. Also expected a lot of redactions, a lot of black ink. So let's bring in our Friday Politics Roundtable. Joining us is Aisha Roscoe, NPR White House reporter. Hi, Aisha.
Thanks for having me.
And Beth Fooey, senior politics editor at NBC. Hi to you, Beth.
Hello to you.
And let's start with you, Beth. Everyone in Washington appears to be bracing for this report, anticipating this report. What's the first thing journalists will be digging into to answer when we get it any day now?
Yeah, we're expecting it probably early next week. And you mentioned redactions. We don't quite know what that's going to look like, how heavily redacted it's going to be. Attorney General Barr this week indicated to Congress that they will have a good assessment of what's in the report and pretty complete. So we will see if that's the case. I think what journalists are going to be looking for is the whole issue of obstruction. Attorney General Barr sort of took it upon himself, absent a conclusion from Mueller, from the special counsel, about whether President Trump had committed any obstruction. AG Barr said that he had not. And so the Congress and certainly journalists are going to be looking at the evidence that that Mueller put forth to suggest that perhaps it had happened. Now, it's quite true that apparently Mueller decided not to come to a conclusion on the question of obstruction, at least as far as it could enter the criminal realm. But there could be other evidence there that suggests that President Trump was doing things that at least Mueller found troublesome.
Aisha, will Democrats be happy with anything short of the full report, no redactions?
I can't speak for Democrats. I think what they want is as much as they can possibly get. And I think there is a difference between what Congress sees and what the general public will see. So I think there will be an argument that they should be able to see in Congress, that people in Congress should be able to see the report, should be able to see underlying evidence, even if there are some other, even if the general public cannot see everything, that as lawmakers that they should have the right to see that. But that's the argument that President Trump is making. Oh, they'll never be satisfied. I think you'll see when this report comes out, if there are a lot of redactions and if there are still questions about exactly what Mueller found, I think you will hear complaints from Democrats just basically saying we deserve to see we deserve to know exactly what happened and exactly what was uncovered.
I guess the other part of that is seeing, believing, because polls show that about 4 in 10 Americans think the Mueller report will not change their minds about President Trump. So what consequence, Beth, does the Mueller report have?
Well, and that's certainly the case. I mean, everything in this era now is so tribalized and so polarized that I doubt anybody's minds are going to be changed about President Trump one way or the other. But that doesn't mean that this information should not be exposed to the public to make their own determination of what they think of it. Meanwhile, the Congress is undertaking its own investigations of various aspects of the Trump administration, President Trump's businesses. We know that the Ways and Means Committee is seeking his taxes. So the investigative move within the Democratic-controlled House is going to continue both on this issue and on others.
What has been the political fallout since Attorney General William Barr this week, testifying at a congressional hearing, referred to spying, using that term during the Trump campaign? We know that the FBI got a warrant to monitor former Trump campaign advisor Carter Page after he left. Let's, before I get your answer, listen to Donald Trump now.
There was absolutely spying into my campaign. I'll go a step further. In my opinion, it was illegal spying, unprecedented spying, and something that should never be allowed to happen in our country again.
And House Speaker Nancy Pelosi had this to say.
The chief law enforcement officer of our country is going off the rails. He is the Attorney General of the United States of America, not the Attorney General of Donald Trump.
Aisha, could you assess what you think William Barr's strategy was in bringing up spying, if there was a strategy?
Oh, I think when he talks about spying, that's definitely in line with what President Trump and what his supporters have been saying. This idea of you need to investigate the investigators. You need to look at how this started. And was there any kind of malfeasance or anything that happened that was wrong? And so by using that word spying, he was seeming to try to lend credence at least into the idea that this needs to be looked into. But he did later, he clarified and said he doesn't know if there was any kind of improper, he doesn't have any evidence about abuse of power or improper surveillance. And obviously surveillance is a very different word than spying.
Right.
But I think that what he was doing was speaking to a very clear audience, and that was President Trump. And by him saying that, he gave President Trump the ability to even go further and say, yes, I think they were spying. And after he said that, he said he thought it was treasonous behavior happening. And so I think that's who Barr was speaking to. And Democrats, of course, are raising concerns about that.
Beth, if that is in fact who William Barr was speaking to, the president, isn't that a problem?
It's interesting because William Barr is somebody who's had a long career in Washington in and out of government and has had a pretty good reputation and one that one would think he would want to defend at this stage of his career as an independent, thoughtful attorney. He did seem to sort of put on the tinfoil hat with that comment about spying, and it was all kind of part of the conservative media feedback loop that he entered into. One would think that the Attorney General of the United States would try to stay out of that kind of thing and would choose words that were careful and didn't imply that the agency, the governmental department that he runs is engaged in something untoward. He stepped right in there, though, and perhaps it was to speak to speculatively to Trump or to his and to his people, clearly.
And to your point, it's not like he's inexperienced. He's been in this job before. He knows this is fraught territory. So, you know, we'll see where that takes us. This other story that we're following, the Washington Post first reported that President Trump considered sending immigrants apprehended at the border to sanctuary cities that oppose his immigration policies, places like San Francisco, Chicago, New York, and that this was in retaliation. What else do we know?
Yeah, I mean, our NBC News has also confirmed that this discussion took place. Look, it just sounds like yet another way to sort of seek revenge on political enemies rather than find a coherent immigration policy that would address this issue of all these migrants coming to the border. We don't have a policy that makes any sense to try to deal with this influx. And rather than try to take revenge on Nancy Pelosi or any other California Democrat or any other place that has sanctuary cities, why not use that energy instead to figure out a policy that would work both for our country and for these migrants trying to get in?
Aisha, the Senate left for a two-week recess without an agreement on disaster aid packages. The president felt that too much aid was going to Puerto Rico, so he wouldn't sign on to disaster relief. Tell us where that leaves states that are relying on disaster aid or potentially will be.
Well, I think it raises some questions about what's going to happen next. And this is not just affecting Puerto Rico, but even though that's a big part of this, this is affecting other states as well. And so I think the question is, how is Congress going to be able to come together to come up with a way that they're going to get this money dealt out? This is very important to a lot of states, and there could be some repercussions if Congress cannot get this done. And so it seems to be like what is going to be the middle ground or what can be done to actually get this kind of over the finish line.
Beth, another story. Herman Cain appears not to be headed to the Federal Reserve Board at this point. A couple senators have come out against him, Republican senators. What does that tell you?
Yeah, four Republicans at least have suggested that they would not support his nomination. Look, what it says to me is that we've perhaps hit a point where lawmakers on Capitol Hill, Republican lawmakers who up until this point have been very willing to sort of do exactly what the president wants to do, are starting to assert a little independence. That's been a long time coming, but perhaps we're starting to see that.
Same fate for Stephen Moore. Does he have a chance to get through? This is the other person, a conservative ally of the president's. Who has been tapped potentially to be on the board.
That nomination or potential nomination doesn't seem to be quite as fraught yet, but we shall see. We've got 2 weeks of vacation now for the lawmakers on Capitol Hill starting today. And when they come back, I'm sure that this was going to be something that they take up very quickly.
Final question, in just a brief amount of time. A Monmouth University poll in Iowa shows former Vice President Joe Biden leading the field of 18 Democrats running for president with 16%, and South Bend, Indiana Mayor Peter Buttigieg in second place at 9%. And by the way, maybe a wave of the future, Democratic presidential candidate Andrew Yang has debuted a hologram of himself he says will eventually allow him to be in two places at once on the campaign trail. I guess for both you, Aisha, and Beth, that means you have to be in two places at once as well.
I'll have to get a hologram.
I'd like that. That'd be great.
That's the answer.
We're already trying to do that. We have 18 candidates in the field, and we're going to get a few more. We all have to get a hologram.
Beth Bowie, senior politics editor at NBC, Aisha Roscoe, NPR White House reporter. Thank you very much, both of you.
Thank you.